Milatz is a self-development expert and inspirational teacher. He is dedicated to finding solutions for humanity and to help expand human awareness and potential. He reaches people and organizations all around the world on how to master all areas of their lives by breaking through any blocks and limits they may be facing in order to live a more fulfilled and empowered life. For more information about our range of products, events and programs, visit www.bartmilatz.com.
Hello and welcome to this training on how to empower your life and live your life on your terms. People ask me all the time, if I only have one piece of advice to give them, what would it be? And my answer is, learn how to empower all areas of your life. Any area of your life that you empower will give you inspiration, freedom and fulfillment. Any area that you empower will also make it easier to empower another area of your life, since all areas of your life are connected and intertwined. Any area of your life that is empowered is also an area where you live life on your terms, because you hold the power. The opposite is true as well. Any area of your life that you don't empower is where you lose your power, where it will drain your energy, and where other people make the choices for you. Any area that you don't empower, other people will overpower you and prevent you from making your own choices. Now, this is true on a small scale, such as for yourself or within your family, but it's also true globally. Any area of a culture or country that is not empowered will be overpowered by other cultures and other countries. For this program, I like to follow 7 areas of life. Some teachers use 12 areas and others use 5, but I like to use 7. 7 is kind of a magical number. There are 7 colors in the rainbow, the ancient world had 7 world wonders, there are 7 continents, and there are also 7 days in a week. So you can devote every day of the week to an area of life if you wish to do so. The 7 areas of life are your spiritual, mental, vocational, financial, social, health and family. Throughout this program, I will go in depth into each of these areas and tell you how to empower each of them. I will now give you the 3 strategies that will give you the courage and confidence to live your life on your terms and to empower your life. Let's begin. The first principle is to make peace with your past. Many people throughout their lives carry a lot of unnecessary baggage that hold them back to live their dream life. Now, what do I mean with baggage? Obviously, baggage in the physical world are bags full of stuff that you can take with you when you travel. Emotional or spiritual baggage is kind of similar. It is anything that weighs you down and that stops you from making certain empowering choices. It can be bad experiences, associations, memories, problems, issues, and perspectives that don't serve you. These are stored in your psyche, either consciously, unconsciously, or both. Let me give you an example, because maybe you don't relate to it yet. Perhaps you have started a business in the past that didn't turn out well, and you decided to close it down. After that event, you stopped trying to start your own business again, since your memory of running your own business is a painful one, and you try to avoid that pain. Or perhaps you dated a handsome guy or a beautiful girl who turned out to cheat on you. As a result, you associate dating handsome men or beautiful girls with painful experiences, and therefore you stop to look for the relationship of your dreams. Most of the associations start from a young age. It could be that you saw someone beating up your mother. At that time, he was wearing a white shirt and he had black hair. A while later, you walked with your mother in a mall, and you saw someone wearing the exact same white shirt, however this time he didn't have black hair but blonde hair. So now unconsciously you start to associate bad guys beating up other people, having white shirts and black or blonde hair. A while later, you saw someone with the exact same blonde hair, but now he's wearing a blue shirt. So now you associate white shirts, blue shirts, black hair, and blonde hair to bad guys that beat up other people. All of these things are stored in your psyche and become your baggage and hold you back later in your life if you don't bring it back into balance and clear the memory and associations to see the truth. William James said that the greatest discovery of our time is that people can change their life by changing their attitudes and perspectives. Now, in the physical world, you can decrease the weight of your baggage simply by taking out stuff from your bags. Emotionally and spiritually, it is similar. You can increase the quality of your life by removing the emotional and spiritual baggage from your past. When you can turn this baggage into gratitude, it becomes rocket fuel to live the life of your dreams. So, how do we do this? The first step is to identify your emotional baggage. Since we all have so much baggage, it's almost impossible to do this in a short session or even within a few hours. It's a continuous process that you have to continue throughout your life. Whenever something comes up, you clear it by asking yourself how that person, event, or situation has served you and other people. Let me give you an example from my own life. When I was 12 years old, my mother started to become suicidal. In a few years, she made over 40 suicide attempts, which caused our family a great deal of pain and suffering. I blamed my mother for many years for destroying our family, leaving me, my brothers and sister all alone and not caring for us. What I later realized is that this event helped me to grow up early and become independent by the age of 17. When I moved to the other side of the world, all self-supportive without any financial support from anyone. My mother helped me indirectly to become more compassionate and open-minded in my life and to have a broader perspective. Once I realized this, I cleared the emotional baggage associated with my mother. All I have now for her is love. I get more energy, a weight has lifted off my shoulders, and since then my mother has also been able to help me going through some of the rough patches in my life that she wouldn't be able to help me with if I stayed angry and ignored her. So, let's start to clear some of your baggage right now. Please take out a piece of paper and write down the answers to the following questions. You can also use your phone, tablet, or laptop to type it on there. The first question is, what do you feel guilty and shamed about? Guilt means that you felt like you did something bad, and shame means that you think you are bad. So what in your life do you feel guilt and shame about? Write it down. If you need some more time, please pause the track whenever you want and continue when you're ready. The next question is, what are you angry about? What people are you angry with? Or what events are you angry about? Write it down. It can be an event recently, or perhaps something comes to your mind from 10, 20, or even 50 years ago. Or perhaps you're angry with yourself for making certain decisions. Write it down. What was the event, who was involved, and when was it? Also, what pushes your buttons? Often when our buttons get pushed, it is a sign of an emotional charge, where we can only see one side of the coin. What or who pushed your buttons, and why? Where do you feel hurt, abandoned, rejected, or misunderstood by someone? Whenever this happens, we have an emotional charge on someone and think that these people are more than ourselves, and we accumulate baggage associated with the memory. When someone you don't care about rejects you, you wouldn't care, would you? We only feel rejected by people we have subordinated to. Another question is, where do you use extreme language? I believe there are about two types of extreme language. There are imperatives, such as, I have to, I must, I should, I ought to do this. This shows that you don't really want to do it. and you have subordinated to other people to do something that you don't really want to do. The other type of extreme language are extremes, such as all the time, all these kind of people, and so on. It shows black and white thinking that often started with a charged emotional event in the past. So think about it. Where in your life do you use extreme language? You probably realize that simply writing down the event already helped you to start clearing the baggage. If it's not fully cleared yet, ask yourself these questions. How did it serve you? And how did it serve others? What did it help you to learn or realize? Keep asking the questions until you can feel the weight lift off your shoulders and start to feel a sense of peace and gratitude. See the balance. Everything is on the way and not in the way. See the other side and keep looking until you can say thank you. Also, from now on, do this process at the moment when something new comes up. This helps you to stay present and not to accumulate too much new baggage. This was the first strategy that will help you to lay a clear and clean foundation to live your dream life. Let's move on to strategy 2. The second principle is to empower all areas of your life. As I said before, any area that you don't empower, someone else will overpower you. Any area of your life that you don't empower will cost you your power. This is true for yourself, but also for your family and within cultures and countries. If you don't empower your finances, for example, you have to depend on the government or other people to look after you, who will set out the rules for you when they give you the money. There's often nothing such as a free lunch. Or when your health is not empowered and you get sick a lot, you will probably go to a doctor or nurse who tells you what to do, and this person overpowers you. And look at countries. Those with lots of money lend it to poorer countries who don't have any money. These countries then have to listen to and obey to the rules and conditions of the country that lend them the money. So it's absolutely crucial, if you want to live life on your terms, to empower all areas of your life. Otherwise you won't be free, and you'll have other people take over bits and pieces of your life. There are 7 areas of your life. These are your spiritual, mental, vocational, financial, social, health, and family. Each of these areas, believe it or not, is also linked to one of the 7 virtues in order to overcome one of the 7 deadly sins. These 7 virtues originated from a poem called Psychomachia, written by Christian governor Aurelius Clemens Prudentius around 2500 years ago. Each virtue shows you into the direction of living life on your terms and tells you how to start mastering a particular area of your life. Let's go through each of the 7 areas of life and I will explain what I mean. The first area of your life is your spiritual mission. Your spiritual mission is a sense of fulfillment and contribution. The deadly sin here is envy, by desiring an item or experience that someone else possesses. The virtue that can help you to start to empower this area of your life is kindness. By developing a genuine desire to help people, you develop your spiritual mission. For me personally, my spiritual mission is teaching. I started teaching just a handful of people. I then started teaching at a school, and the number of my students and the impact I made increased. I then created a YouTube show to teach people all around the world online, and now I teach tens of thousands of people through books, seminars, and also in person. I really love to contribute this way, and it gives me a great sense of joy and fulfillment. So, what spiritual mission do you want to dedicate your life to? Is it raising a beautiful family? Or building a business that serves millions of people around the world? Or is it opening a doctor's practice to help people stay healthy? Deep in your heart, you already know what your spiritual mission is, don't you? It is probably a theme that keeps coming back to you throughout your life. Don't subordinate to anyone else and don't compare your life to someone else. Simply follow your heart and choose your spiritual mission. So, what is it? The second area of life is your health. You can empower your health by having great health, energy, and vitality. This area of life is closely related to your spiritual mission. People who have a clear spiritual mission in life have more vitality, health, and energy than people who do not. The deadly sin here is gluttony, which is the excessive and ongoing consumption of food and drinks. This can be simply overcome by the virtue of temperance, which is the desire to be healthy and fit to serve others. Also think how your ideal health looks like. Is it being fit enough to run a marathon, or is it simply to have more energy and vitality to do the things you love to do? The third area is your mental genius. Do you study about topics that are inspiring to you? People who are proud of themselves and believe they are better than others often don't develop their mental genius. Humility helps to overcome this, to open the mind to continue studying and growing. Nowadays, there's so much knowledge out there. Going out there and studying research, reading books and articles on the topics that interest you or that you work in will help you to grow and have an advantage compared to others who do not study and grow. I strongly believe that study begins after university or college, and not as many people believe stops after university. I myself read at least one book a week, plus I read many articles every day. I watch documentaries, I attend seminars, and I try to learn as much as I can to help to empower all areas of my life, and I share this knowledge with as many people possible. So, on what topics would you like to be a mental genius? The fourth area is your vocation, your job or business. Are you inspired by the type of work that you do? The deadly sin here is sloth, which I found out is the excessive laziness or the failure to use your talents. To overcome this, you have to develop discipline and diligence. By placing the interests of serving others above a life of ease and relaxation, you can start to empower this area of your life. Jim Rohn said it best. He said that the pain of discipline weighs ounces, but the pain of regret weighs tons. So, what vocation is most inspiring to dedicate your life to? If you can tap dance to work, as Warren Buffett said, you have the greatest vitality and opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives and to become wealthy as well. This leads us to the fifth area of life, which is money. Are you financially free, and do you have enough income to pay for your desired lifestyle? There's kind of a paradox about money. The deadly sin is greed, which is an excessive pursuit and hoarding of money. But at the same time, if you ever want to be financially free, you have to save money, don't you? When we look at a virtue in this area of life, it's generosity, which is the desire to help other people. From my personal experience, I found that the more I give, the more I receive as well. I can still save more for my financial independence while also being generous with my time, energy, and charity. Also, if you want to make more money, you have to help other people, don't you? So, the more you help others get what they want and the more you contribute, the more you will receive as well. How does a life of financial independence look like for you? Is it enough money to travel the world first class? Or is it having enough money to make sure your children have an amazing education? Think about it and let it ponder on your mind how such a life looks like. The sixth area is family. How empowered is your family, and do you have good relationships with your family members? The sin here is lust in an uncontrollable state of passion or longing, especially that for sexual desire. I hear many teachers talk about living with passion. Did you know that passion actually means suffering? it is going back to an animal state of black and white thinking. So having compassion actually means to suffer with somebody else. The antidote here is self-control, which helps to control that desire. Napoleon Hill wrote an entire chapter in his famous book Think and Grow Rich on the power of sexual mutation. He found out that the most successful people were often older men who learned to transform their sexual desire into energy to work on their business. Younger people are often not successful because they give in to their desire for sex and they go out and have sex and then lose this incredible sexual energy. I've recently lived in a Buddhist temple in Thailand for 8 days, and there I made a satya, which is a holy promise not to have sex or drink alcohol for 6 months. The amount of energy I keep because of that promise is incredible. I finished so many projects that I was procrastinating on before, and I feel more presence and calm. So, what kind of family do you want to have? And the last area of life is social. Do you have social influence and great relationships with your friends and associates? Red prevents us from having social influence. It are uncontrollable feelings of anger and hate towards particular people. Patience will help you to solve this by taking the time to understand the needs and desires of other people before you act helps to expand your social influence. And the third principle is to design your life proactively and to take action every single day to live your dream life. Now, I designed this program in a specific order. First, we remove the baggage and all the shit from your life so we have a clean foundation to build up from. Then we looked at every area of your life to see how each ideal area of life looks like and which virtues are useful to use. The third step is to create a specific strategy for you to empower all areas of your life. And it's designed specifically for you, not for your best friends, your neighbor, or your mother-in-law. No, specifically for you with no subordinations to anyone else. Now we will determine the actions that can help you to make your dream life possible. However, most people have it backwards, haven't they? They focus on the action, working harder, longer hours, without really investigating if their action is sufficient enough to get them to the outcome the quickest. If you bake a cake following a recipe and you start with a last step, will you get the same result? No, of course not. You have to follow the steps in the right order or it becomes a mess. The same when you build a house. You start with the foundation, don't you? Then you build the walls and the roofings, etc. When I first started teaching, I took the very first job that I applied for a very low salary in Bangkok, Thailand. I had to wake up at 5 a.m. every day and I got home around 6 p.m. and often much later than that. I then started to work harder because that's what everyone told me to do, and I taught students in the evening as well. But, as you know, there are only 24 hours in a day, aren't there? So soon my schedule was full, with me working very hard, but hardly making enough income to pay the bills. What I didn't know was that other schools would offer a much higher salary with better working conditions as well, such as air conditioning and friendlier colleagues. And I could leverage my teaching by teaching online and in groups, instead of only one-on-one teaching. The thing with taking action is that it's a double-edged sword. For example, if you choose to go out shopping for a few hours and you buy something worth $100, you not only lose your $100 and the time it took to go shopping, but you also lost the opportunity to work in that time and to make an income. In economical terms, this is called your opportunity cost. So, instead of earning $100 for a few hours of work, you spend $100 for a few hours of shopping. And the difference at the end of the day is not $100, but $200 in your account balance. And in fact, it's often much more than that. If you add in the goodwill you build up with your work, the return you can get when you invest the $200, and so forth. Now, this principle of the double-edged sword is true for every area of your life and the actions that you decide to take. So, for this part of the program, let's start with one area of your life that you want to focus on and improve. What is that area of your life? Is it your spiritual, health, mental, vocational, financial, family, or social area? The first step is to see how that area of your life looks like right now. Be as specific as possible. If you want, you can write it down and pause the track to do that. Do you earn $2,000 a month through working 60 hours a week? Or are you 200 pounds overweight and always tired? Or are you single and you want to get into a loving relationship? Write down the area of life and how it currently looks like. Have you done that? Great! If not, pause the track and go to do it now. Now, think about how your ideal life in that specific area of life looks like. Perhaps you want to earn $10,000 a month by doing your own business. Or maybe you want to build a strong six-pack body with 12% body fat. Be as specific as possible and focus on things that you can control and that you can measure. So don't say, I want all of my students to like and love me if you are a teacher, because you cannot control other people. And if you remember part one, all of my students is an example of extreme expectation, of extreme language, which sets you up to fail. Instead, focus on what you can do, such as giving your very best with every lesson you teach, and every week work on one thing to improve your classes. Now, what old actions and habits do you need to let go of to reach your goal? And what new strategies and actions could you implement in your life to get there? Brainstorm as many options as possible. There's always a way to reach your goal. And if you're not sure how to do it, you can figure it out, don't you? The key here is to let your ideal life guide you instead of your current circumstances. The masses need to see it before they believe it. But the masters of life believe it before they see it. Once you have created a list and researched all the options, prioritize your options for biggest impact. You are looking first for low-hanging fruit, which means actions that are relatively easy to do while giving the highest possible impact in terms of results. And finally, there's no such thing as failure. At the end of the day, always ask yourself these three questions and document the answers. What went well today? What can I do better tomorrow? And what am I grateful for today? This will help you to continuously improve your life while also cultivating a sense of gratitude and direction for your life. The more grateful you are, the more you will receive to be grateful for. I have kept a gratitude journal for many years now, and every day I receive more to be grateful for. Thank you so much for listening to this audio program. I'm so grateful to be of service to you and to help you to empower your life. If you like some more resources, please visit my website on www.bartmilats.com. That's www.bartmilats.com. And check out my articles, videos, and products to be inspired. Thank you again for listening, and I wish you a happy and empowered life.